And I know this is the time of year for goodwill and kind thoughts, but here's a tip for you if there's someone you'd really like to do in. Get him elected governor. Just about any state will do, because governors and state legislators are stuck playing Scrooge from coast to coast this year, cutting back on state services, dipping into reserves, or raising taxes. In this segment, we'll hear from two governors, one incoming, one outgoing, about the fiscal crises afflicting their states. First, to South Dakota and a governor-elect, the man who'll be taking over soon in Pierre, the state capital, Republican Mike Rounds. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
How bad are things in South Dakota?
Well, we're not as bad as some of the other states, or at least that's my understanding. We're looking at about a $54 to $55 million deficit in general fund expenditures on about a $900 million budget. And our loss is due to two things primarily. We, as the state, decided to eliminate the inheritance tax, which is about a $25 million a year generator of revenue. And then in addition to that, our costs continue to increase when it comes to matching the needs for Medicaid from the federal government, or in many cases, the health care costs that we're responsible for paying have continued to go up. Those have hurt us hard, just like they have the other states in the United States.
Looking at the tax side, first of all, I gather you've gotten a windfall there of about $18 million from the settlement of an old inheritance tax claim.
Yeah.
From when the days when you did have an inheritance tax.
That's right.
Does that make you feel that perhaps, looking ahead at how much money that brought in, that perhaps eliminating the inheritance tax wasn't such a great idea?
Well, there were a number of us that had suggested. As a matter of fact, I was the majority leader in the South Dakota Senate up through the year 2000. And during that time, we had planned a gradual reduction in the inheritance tax to take about 7 years. Unfortunately, the voters of South Dakota decided that that wasn't quick enough, and they voted in a statewide ballot to eliminate it in 1 year.
Well, you have a deficit of, as you said, over $50 million, and it's a less than $1 billion state budget. How do you cut that amount, or do you use tax increases to close the gap at all?
We're fortunate. We have reserves that we had built up over a period of 10 years. Total right now, we've got about $72 to $73 million in reserves there. And then that additional $18 to $19 million that was the windfall from one particular estate settlement, that coming in gives us a little bit of leeway for a year or so. But those are one-time dollars, and they buy us a little bit of time, but they do not address the long-term issue of ongoing revenues versus ongoing expenses. The way that we address those, we slow down spending within state government as much as we can. We've already put a slush on the hiring. We're not hiring anybody unless we have permission from basically the executive branch of government to do so, and that means the upper echelons. And at the same time, we've looked at every program that we can to see if there's a way to slow down the expenditures or to eliminate programs.
Now, in addition to imposing what you call a job slush, I guess a job slush is a little bit softer than a job freeze.
That's right.
In addition to doing that generally throughout state government, what specific programs are likely to get cut because you have to make ends meet?
What we're going to take a look at as an example is we have the new program of No Child Left Behind, which is the federal approach to how we take care of educating our children in the future. We're going to take a look within education to see if there are other programs that we can combine and weave No Child Left Behind into education, allowing some of the other programs to be eliminated. We want to find a way to take advantage of new government programs that might mean waivers, perhaps co-insurances when it comes to Medicaid. It might very well mean trying to combine when it comes to the health insurance programs that we have for people that are within our institutions, those are people that are being incarcerated. Those are the types of things that we have to be looking at.
But to go back to the first program that you mm-hmm. mentioned, is what you're saying, the way South Dakota may satisfy the requirements of the No Child Left Behind Act is to do a bit of a shell game, to use things that already exist in South Dakota instead of new programs, which we thought the law would bring about.
Actually, we don't see it as a shell game. What we see it is the focus. And the focus says we're still there to educate our children. As long as they give me some resources or they give me the opportunity to take the dollars that are currently being made available to me and cut loose some of the strings that are attached to them, then it gives me a chance to do more with what I already have.
Well, Governor-elect Rounds, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Mike Rounds, the governor-elect of South Dakota, spoke with us from the state capital, Pierre. Joining us from the governor's mansion in Frankfort, Kentucky, where he's spending his last Christmas as governor, is Democrat Paul Patton, who has another 11 months to spend in office. Governor Patton, welcome to the program.
It's certainly a pleasure to be here and discuss these problems with you.
How big is your deficit in Kentucky?
It's only about $500 million, which is about 5% of our budget. That's not quite as bad as several other states. I think the average state deficit shortfall is probably going to be closer to 10%.
60% of state spending, I've read, in Kentucky is for education. If you add in Medicaid, how much do those two items account for all of the spending in the state?
That's 80%, and then you put in corrections, and you've got about 86%. So when you talk about three things that are very, very stressed in our budget, and most other states, we don't have much left to work with.
So how do you do that, then? What are you going to cut in order to get the budget in balance? If there really isn't technically a budget in Kentucky, I gather, but in order to get spending in balance with revenues without cutting vital services?
We have to look at the alternative of replacing some revenue that we have lost because of tax cuts. During my term of office, during the past 7 years, we've cut taxes about $500 million. So if you just said, well, let's go back and recover the taxes that we cut, we could probably get through our crisis.
And if Kentucky does raise taxes, which taxes should it increase? What are the most painless tax increases you can imagine?
We haven't gotten to that point yet, but Kentucky has lost a tremendous amount of support from the corporate community, and every other state does. 12 years ago, we made a commitment to education. We raised taxes. Corporations were paying 10% of the state government. Today, they're paying 5%.
In corporate income taxes?
Corporate income and license tax, direct tax payment from corporations.
Can individual states, though, effectively raise, say, corporate taxes without the corporations saying, look, we'll move across the river. The tax situation is better there. Doesn't that have to be some kind of coordinated approach among the states?
Well, that, of course, is the corporations play off states that way, and that's the way it is. States have to be cognizant of maintaining a competitive environment for the business community to operate. At the same time, they have to provide competitive quality of services, and education being the most important one and the one upon which corporations in America are going to be more dependent than ever before. It's a national dilemma that hopefully we can work towards a national solution. All states are looking at this, and hopefully many states will try to address the problem.
Well, Governor Patton, thank you very much for talking with us, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
Paul Patton, the governor of Kentucky, spoke with us from the mansion, the governor's mansion, that is, in Frankfort, Kentucky. We also spoke with Mike Rounds, governor-elect of South Dakota.